I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN.
Yes,
happy Friday to you. A lot going on the program.
Yes, I'm going.
At 6 coming up and Lou's first call.
Yes, I'm going. I'm sorry. The parking lot's an obstacle course.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it's always I've never an adventure.
Worked, I've been thrown out of a lot of buildings. I've never worked at a place where the building is being torn down while you're still in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they remove your space while you're still working here. What?
It's
crazy.
All right, I'm going to try to do this off the air because I'm not happy.
Okay.
Listen, coming up on the program, did you talk about this yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Oh, well, I said the Hawks tickets, and we're giving away tickets to a concert at Wrigley Field today as well.
Ed Sheeran?
Mm-hmm.
Can he fill up Wrigley Field?
I think so.
I thought he, isn't he at Soldier Field?
Soldier Field?
That's what I swear I heard.
He's pretty good, whatever field he goes to.
Every field he goes to, there you go.
Is he only playing fields now?
Right?
Soldier Field.
You could fill a field.
Ed Sheeran can sell 50,000 tickets?
Yes.
Now, don't you be talking bad about Ed Sheeran.
I love Ed Sheeran.
You know, my karaoke was Ed Sheeran.
That's right.
Special place in Dave's heart.
Yeah, I don't know what that has to do with him selling 50,000 tickets.
Because I think it's really helped skyrocket his popularity.
Yeah, sure that's probably it.
Yeah.
People love Ed Sheeran.
And Dave.
Well, Dave's going to dance
look,
on
look,
the piano.
Look, for the Ed Sheeran fan club on this show, I love Ed Sheeran. My point is he can't sell 50,000 tickets.
I think he can.
He will be at Soldier Field October 4th at 7
Soldier
o'clock.
Field, yes,
he's been
Dave.
Selling out stadiums all across the world.
Christ on a bicycle. Good for Ed Sheeran.
Glad you like him, Steve.
Lou Manfredini's coming up in a few minutes. You want to be the first to talk to Lou. Here's the number, 312-981-7200. Let's do the top six at six. That'd be a good idea to do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Senate blocked three, not one, not two, but three different measures yesterday to resolve the fates of hundreds of thousands of young undocumented immigrants. What President Trump and company want and what the bipartisan committee in Congress delivered are still very far apart. So as the Dreamers deadline approaches, no solution there. Quack. Mike Madigan, ally, ousted after a harassment complaint, is accused of violating a protective order in a different case. We don't know if Madigan knew about that one, but we do know he knew about the first one. Another Legionnaires case at the Veterans Home plagued by deadly water problems.
Unbelievable.
Where the governor was, a month ago?
Mm-hmm, in Quincy. And we said, too, back then, even, Steve, just tear it down. At this point, now another one, 12 deaths, and now another
Yeah, it
incident?
Doesn't appear that's something that could be fixed. And I don't know, this isn't an asbestos thing where you never can get rid of all of it?
That's why I just start from square one.
Next. Cook County deaths from opioids combined with Xanax or other types of drugs have nearly tripled in 3 years. So this is a national trend that has plagued Ohio, for instance, and other parts of the country. But we haven't had the same sort of scare here. But now, despite the alarming death toll, some experts say abuse appears to be growing. There are restrictions on prescriptions and things of that nature, but until they wrap their arms around this completely, there's no end in sight. And
just to give you a quick number, 333 deaths last year. It's three times what it was last year.
This year.
Correct.
already this year.
Yeah, 333
pacing
deaths
this year.
Last year, yes.
Okay, but we don't have numbers for this year.
Three times the previous, correct.
Today marks the start of the year of the dog, the latest turn in the 12-year lunar zodiac cycle. The phase lunar year is New Year is kind of interchangeable with Chinese New Year, but there are variations in how it's done in Asia. The year of the cat is in 2023. And that year, Al Stewart's song will be played over and over and over again.
Right? We saw all of the...
Can Al Stewart sell out Soldier Field, Steve? Do we know?
I don't know about that yet. Okay.
When we were in Vegas, they were getting ready for the Lunar New Year. Remember they had the dragon and all the dogs at
all over Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go back and visit my money.
It's thinking of you fondly.
By the way, let's play a little game here. Before I left Vegas, I had room service. And the room service I had, make a note of this, bagel with cream cheese. Side of sausage, two Diet Pepsis. Cost?
$110.
I'm going to say...
You're just being silly.
I'm going to say 35.
35, 68, Steve?
68.
I'm going 50.
You guys have... $22.
See, I set this up wrong, because you guys are just going, oh, it's got to be super expensive. Well, it was. It was $50.
Hey, we're talking with gratuity or without?
47 without the tip. Wow. And actually, it was...
That's crazy.
47. It was 57, because I put a $10 tip on it.
That's unbelievable.
Was that bagel imported from New York?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was driven there that morning.
Yeah. He baked it.
I was going to say, they made it in the room.
It was brought in by tiny Jewish bagel bakers who brought it in.
Me, you, and Samberg stopped off at this little cafe before we decided to actually go have a full breakfast. And what was it, like $18 for a croissant or something?
It's as expensive as New York City.
Wow.
So,
were you in New York, New York?
No, that would have been funny, though, if they charged New York prices in New York, New York. Paris prices at the Paris casino.
Yeah. Italian prices at Palazzo.
I was looking for the Quad Cities casino, because I was looking for a reasonably priced breakfast.
And free mints.
Well, that's your top six, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. But, you know, I don't normally say that. This guy does. Don't you have, an introduction or, a big thing you play here?
Yeah, I play it going into commercial spots.
Oh, that's right. So, actually, what I do now is then I talk to Andrea.
Yep.
And then we set that up. And then before you go to commercial, you play the thing that I brought up.
Yeah. I mean, we can play it now if you want. If you'd
rather.
Do
you know why there's a cone blocking the parking lot?
Oh,
that's bizarre. I was going the wrong way down the one-way street on Illinois.
I drove over the cone this morning.
I had Aubrey move the cone for me.
All right. Coming up at 6:30. We're derailed. Everybody's going, what?
There's two cones.
Yeah.
And God bless our security people. They're very nice people. But there's two cones that are sitting blocking a side entrance to this parking lot. And these two cones that are sitting there, there's a little speaker box. When you pull in, you push a button, you can talk to the security people. Go, hey, I'd like to come to work. Can I come in?
All right.
And the gate won't go up. They've got some super lock on the gate or something.
No, it's malfunctioning, I heard.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So the two cones are sitting there, and the security person comes out yelling that an actual security person has to come out and move the cones. Mm-hmm. But you can't move the cones. Security has to move the cones.
So did you move
them?
They're
just two loose cones.
Or did security end up moving them?
No, because I have the the Chevy Tahoe.
White lightning.
White lightning.
Yeah. I drove over the curb.
Because the cones weren't even there when I came in.
Telling you, if anybody still works at the Tribune Tower, you are not parking today.
No.
There is no way you're going to get in this lot.
Be forewarned.
They're firing sniper shots over cars right now.
I found a love for me.
Oh, now Joe's involved. Here we go.
Darling, just dive right in.
What's the idea today? Just taunt me into losing my mind?
Yep.
This is great. This is so great.
Well, I found a girl. Beautiful and
you know, I love Ed Sheeran. And here's one of the reasons. I love Ed Sheeran because he's not rock star pretty. He's talented. Because he's not making it on looks.
No. Nice that you could do a beautiful Viennese waltz to this.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. 6:23. All right, Joe, start the Lou thing, will you?
Lou's First Call with Lou Lambertini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
We have Ed Sheeran tickets coming up.
It's the time.
7:20.
Of the show. For Lou's First Call.
John DeCosta will be coming up with Ed Sheeran trivia questions. Make it something about celebrities with red hair. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
That's not going to be a question. What color is his hair?
Well, everybody knows what color insurance hair is. Haven't you come to the fan club meeting?
It was not. I couldn't make it.
How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Weather's breaking. Should we do anything about that related to the house?
Well, yeah. Actually, you know, this morning I'm going to talk a little bit more about all the terrible ice dams that we had, because now that you probably took a bunch of pictures of, oh my gosh, I've never seen that before, now's the time to kind of figure out why that's occurring. And there's a myriad of reasons why that damage occurs to the roof. Primarily, it's due to poor insulation and lack of ventilation. The other thing that's a simple fix sometimes is, for many of us in the Chicagoland area, we have heat ducts that come out of the ceiling. You know, the heating in our homes come from the ceiling.
Yeah, the ducts that hang down, they quack and they heat your house.
Correct. And so the issue there can be, many times, you know, people will open and close vents a little bit to kind of adjust the temperature in their home. And if you have an area where you have vents that come from the attic and you have one that's completely closed, that pressure and buildup of heat right there, because the air can't flow out, can be an area of where the ice dams occur. Because there's excessive heat that's built up, like
right,
almost
under pressure. So what do you do about it?
Open it up.
Open that bad boy up.
Open that bad boy up and readjust with another one in another area to try and balance it out a little bit more. And that can sometimes diminish the buildup of heat that's in the attic, that then leads, when Mother Nature does what she did, to a really troublesome problem with ice dams.
Ice dam! Yeah. That's what that's what took the Titanic down, an ice dam.
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
The big one.
Raymond is on the phone, and Raymond's from New Hampshire.
Hampshire, not New Hampshire.
Oh, sorry. Okay. what's your question, Raymond?
I was actually calling about ice dams, believe it or not.
There you go. So, all right, so congratulations, Raymond. You've got your question answered, and you're a big winner. Is there something else you need to know about ice dams?
Yeah, well, my question is, it started pulling at the gutter a little bit. So is that something where I'm going to have to replace the gutters this summer, or is that something where I don't really have to worry about it as much?
Well, if it pulled on the gutter, and as long as, you know, visually now, if you go look at there, you don't see any kind of kink in the sort of the plane of the gutter, you will need to go anchor that back in. And there are these gutter straps that you can buy at the hardware store that have these really long screws in them that you would hook under the lip of the gutter on the inside and place against the board that is the gutter's mounted against. And you want to try and find the rafters, so each individual rafter about every 16 inches, and drive that hanger through that to pull the gutter back in place. And then the other thing to really pay attention to is, you know, the ventilation that's on that overhang, and make sure that that's open and free, because without that flow of air underneath it, that's where this becomes an issue and can come back again. I mean, we're not out of the woods yet. I mean, winter's not over. So that's why these kinds of events, I think, are really important for people to take a look at and then try and correct it.
Texters, quickly, if you have one, at 312-981-7200. Raymond, meanwhile, you've won an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. Allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. Samberg, you have a question?
I do. Lou, my ice maker keeps, like...
Is this a refrigerator question?
Yeah.
Why would Lou know a refrigerator answer?
Doesn't he know everything?
Okay, well, go ahead.
I can try.
My ice maker, it's in the freezer side, obviously. Mm-hmm. It keeps, every few days, I have to break some of the ice cubes away. Like, it gets stuck. They're, like, melting
they jam
or something.
Up.
Yeah. And I was wondering, because the temperature of the freezer, 7 is the coldest and 1 is the warmest, and it was at, like, 3, so I moved it up thinking maybe these aren't cold enough, and so they're not spitting out all the way.
And now it's one giant ice ball?
No, but she has an
ice dam in her freezer,
yeah.
Lou.
Yeah, and it's happening when the little cubes are poking out.
Right.
And then before they fall, there's always one that's, like, melting and gets stuck or something.
This is our new segment, First World Problems.
Yeah,
go ahead.
My ice maker.
And okay. I hate that ice maker. I would never buy a refrigerator with an ice maker. It is ugly. I think they're ugly in the front, but my husband needs a lot of ice. So.
Okay, wait. Are we talking about it's getting caught, it's a dispenser in the door, or we're talking about in the freezer?
I thought your follow-up would be, why does Pat need a lot of ice?
I'm sorry.
Anyway,
me not liking the look of the dispenser refrigerator was a separate just comment.
Okay. I see. Okay.
But inside, just to confuse inside, everyone. Yeah, the thing that where the little icy, you know, they come out kind of looking like a claw, right. The little trick.
Is this a side-by-side fridge?
It is.
Okay. So it probably needs to be defrosted. So side-by-sides are notorious for the door's not closing all the way because of the pressure against when you go to slam the door.
Sure.
And it opens up a little bit. And it's kind of a known issue with side-by-sides that they can sometimes frost over.
Okay.
So what I would do is get a couple coolers, open up the freezer, and empty everything out, put it in the cooler, empty out the ice maker, and unplug. And or if you can just turn off the freezer, you probably can't because it's is it a sub-zero?
No.
Okay. So if it's not a sub-zero, it probably has just one compressor.
Yeah,
so
it has one.
It.
Yeah,
so you have to unplug it.
Okay.
So you have to defrost the fridge, too. Although you can keep the fridge closed, and you need that to be open for 6 hours.
You love cleaning. This would be a great afternoon for
I
you.
I do, yeah. So.
Yeah, this would be a great afternoon.
We so don't
you
got have
a couple
that much
of coolers. You put everything in there.
Yeah, we aren't the type of people that have a million things in their fridge and freezer. Right. I very
well, this
few
is
things.
Gonna be
we need the door open.
This gonna, aren't sure, you excited?
Open.
Excited
door
about your Friday afternoon now?
For 6 hours. In a perfect world, if you have a little fan, like a box fan, put it on the floor to blow in.
Oh, my God, that sounds like fun.
So we move some air
and
put a rag on the ground in case anything leaks out, but it needs to be defrosted. And then also on the tray where they're sticking, I would use just a damp cloth and wipe out the individual trays.
Once it's defrosted.
Correct.
Yeah, because it's hard to do when your hand is cold.
Take a nap.
Yeah.
What about the water filter? One of the texters says to change the water filter.
I was just going to bring that up.
Well, I do change that.
It's always a good idea to change the water filter, but that really doesn't have anything to do with it icing over. I have a feeling it's just not getting cold enough, which
is. That's why. So I turned the coldness up, but
get
yes.
Get a new refrigerator.
Oh, that was my first inclination.
You love appliances.
Steve Shapiro.
I do love appliances. Yeah. I want to get that
I don't like dispensers in the door either.
It's so unsightly. And I want the black stainless steel.
Who doesn't? As much as I'd love for you and Lou to continue this, I think we should move on.
Are we in the air?
Thank you, Lou.
I'll call you later, Mary.
I was going to say, I feel like I've lost control of this show, but I don't feel like I ever had it.
That's true.
So, what are you doing on TV?
We're going to talk about ice dams and elaborate on what we spoke about.
Why don't you just run this segment?
I could.
Just go home.
It's good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll see you.
See you.
Right. That's Lou Manfredini. What do I do now? I'm completely lost. Do I go to a break? Okay. We're going to come back in just a moment, get your headlines on 720 WGN.
On 720 WGN.
Can't you see that it's just going to be Ed Sheeran torture all morning now. There ain't no need
to go outside. I might need to agree here.
No, this isn't Ed. Baby, this is a guy who sounds like Ed. When I try to show you, song is meant to keep. Is this Jack Johnson? Doing what
you're supposed. Yep.
Okay, so what Joe's going to do now is, because he got the job, he's just going to find everyone who sounds kind of like Ed Sheeran and play those bumps all morning.
Sneaky.
Because Joe seems like a nice guy, but really, he's mean.
He's torturing you. And us. Can't you see that
it's just hey, I got something I want to plug here. 19th Ward Alderman Matt O'Shea standing by, and especially in light of the horrific week that's gone on with Commander Paul Bauer being killed. Every year we go through this where we talk about cops having to pay for their own vests.
Right. I know. Can you believe that?
It's a ridiculous thing.
I didn't know that happened.
And Alderman O'Shea throws a get-behind-the-vest pancake breakfast every year, and I'd love if everybody got behind it and supported it. Good morning, Alderman.
Good morning, Steve.
Thanks for being on. Do we ever break this down statistically on how much, by average, every cop has to pay for their own equipment?
Well, they do get a stipend each year for uniform allowance and equipment. But unfortunately, Steve, policemen raising families, saving for college tuition, etc. What comes last? They take care of themselves last. So when we kicked off this initiative 4 years ago, Phil Klein, in 2015, it was many, many officers, thousands, were wearing outdated vests. A bulletproof vest has a 5-year shelf life.
Yeah, the thing I don't understand, Alderman, is why it doesn't the stipend cover the current cost of the vest that's needed?
Well, unfortunately, that's part of the collective bargaining agreement. That's something that the FOP could could include in their negotiations, but because it isn't taken care of, the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation is taking care of it under Phil's direction. And events like this is how we help protect our police officers.
Yeah, is anybody addressing that, though? Because doesn't that seem like a common sense question?
Mm-hmm. I would think that somebody could take a look at it, but we've had this initiative going for 4 years, and we have outfitted more than 8,000 Chicago police officers with new vests.
There's no question. You guys are doing amazing things, and that's why I want people to get behind the breakfast. But I'd also like to see the problem fixed. And when the union negotiates a new contract and you have to predict the future 5 years down the road, it's not hard to statistically go backwards and see what the cost of vests is and the increase on average each year and figure out a way to cover it. Maybe it's not as big a deal to cops as I think it is, but just as a citizen, I think it's ridiculous that cops have to pay for their own protection when it comes to a bulletproof vest. I just don't understand it.
Totally agree. And uniforms, too, because I believe they get one or two, but then need to buy extra, obviously, for long sleeve or short sleeve. So, but that comes out of their pocket, too. So I'm wondering, Alderman.
It's not like we're overpaying cops, so I don't get it.
Alderman, can there be any sort of ordinance introduced or make it some sort of a city law that these can be paid for the men and women of the Chicago Police Department?
Unfortunately, we'd have to work with the union. You know, this is all part of the collective bargaining agreement, and you know, wherever we're talking about this, negotiating salaries, contracts, if it's part of that agreement, that needs to be worked out on that end. I would hope, based on all the attention brought, certainly this last week, this horrible tragedy our city suffered, that it's something that would shed more light on it.
It'd be a great legacy to Paul Bauer. And by the way, not that the vest could have saved him from this animal, but it'd be a great legacy to Paul Bauer if we could figure it out. But in the meantime, we need this pancake breakfast. We need to raise every dollar we can, and we thank Alderman O'Shea for doing it. So get the plug in. When and where?
It's this Sunday, February 18th, here on the south side in the 19th Fort. St. John Fisher School will host our fourth annual Get Behind the Vest breakfast from 8 a.m. until noon. We're asking all Chicagoans, if you can make it out, stop by and have some pancakes. All product is donated by the original Pancake House here in Beverly. We're expecting more than 3,000 people through the door.
That's great.
And if you can't make it out, go to the getbehindthevest.org website and make a donation to support our police officers.
And that's getbehindthevest.org.
Yes, sir.
Alderman, I appreciate the work you're doing on this. It's extremely important, and obviously thanks to Phil Klein as well and everybody for doing this. It's going to be another tough day today in saying goodbye to Paul Bauer, but this is a wonderful thing you do every year, and certainly it's as important now as it's ever been. So thanks for coming on.
Steve, Andrea, thank you so much, and thanks for all your support of the men and women of the Chicago Police Department.
Absolutely. We all need
thank
to be doing
you, Alderman.
That.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Texas says, I respectfully disagree with you. I've had to buy all my tools for work. Well, you know, what do I pay for? I pay for my headphones. And I don't have to. We have headphones here. Maybe I'm wrong about this. You know, and it sounds like it's a union issue, and the union ought to be taking better care of the rank and file and making sure the cops have enough money to take care of their vests. The uniform's a different deal. Look, if you get a stipend and you want to spend some of the money on something else because you need to, and you want to make some deal with a retired cop for their uniform, whatever. But a bulletproof vest is what you may need to keep you alive.
Right.
And I think the union ought to have the responsibility to make sure that every cop has the state-of-the-art bulletproof vest that they need.
Top of the line, absolutely. The only thing with that, Texter, is they're city workers. We pay property taxes, especially here in the city of Chicago, and the officers are paid to protect us. So, well, I don't mind my tax
maybe
dollars
that's
going
a
for
maybe,
bulletproof
maybe
vests.
That's a text question. What do you pay for on your own job? Right?
Yeah, but...
I mean, educate me. What do you have to pay for to go to work?
I'm bagels. I pay bagels.
You do. John buys thousands of dollars in bagels every year for the staff.
But you know what I mean, though? We pay so much money in taxes.
Yeah, it's a different deal.
They go to schools.
No,
they
it's
go
a different
to police,
deal.
You know, and they're protecting us. So that shouldn't be a problem.
312-981-7200. What do you pay for to go to work? Well, that's not the right way to word that. What do you pay for on your own job?
Right. Like your own expenses.
It's grammatically clumsy, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Tools that you need to perform your job.
But go ahead. Sam, what do you pay for?
Sometimes I have to buy you water. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. You will never take my money back. That is true. That's your fault.
And she buys you good water.
Yeah,
she doesn't buy you,
listen,
like, it's a smart water.
Hey, it's my instrument. We must have the high-end water.
All right.
But there's
save the gift.
It's also different because if you're at McDonald's and you get a foldable hat, and then you're an officer and you've got, you know, the equipment has got to be unbelievable. Yeah. So, come on, you know.
If it involves saving your life versus making sure I have my fries, I'm going to go with your saving your life is the important one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we pay for health and hygiene, basically. I mean, Kleenex, I pay for Kleenex in here, Clorox wipes.
How much is a stipend,
hand
do we know?
Hand sanitizer.
We don't have a stipend, do we?
No, we don't get a stipend.
Oh, well, I was like, wait a minute, what?
No, that was the 90s when everything was paid for.
1800s?
But what is the cop stipend? Do we know?
I'll find out, but I want to say it's a couple hundred dollars.
Oh,
as far as for the vests, you mean?
Well, what, is it like one lump sum? I don't know the answer to any of these. Is this
I don't know.
One
we'll find
lump
out.
Sum?
We can easily find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Am I nuts? A bulletproof vest shouldn't be something a cop has to worry about.
I completely agree. That should be provided for them. Like day one, welcome to the force. Here's your vest.
By the way, a 708 texter just is. This is the type of text I deal with on a semi-regular basis from the six people who get up in the morning and want to play this game with me. 708, did Steve just call an African-American person an animal? He's a racist. Let me explain something there.
God.
Wait, when
let me explain something to you. The animal that I'm talking about happens to be the animal that shot and killed a Chicago police officer.
Commander.
Commander Paul Bauer. There's nothing racist about the word animal. He's an animal if he's black, white, green, purple. Pick the color.
Right.
You're a racist for thinking about it in that way.
Yeah.
And do me a favor. If you don't like what I'm saying, don't listen.
Maybe you should have said, Steve, four-time convicted felon, not on parole. Well,
yeah, I don't play that PC BS.
Right.
And for the rest of the show, I'm only going to use initials. It's 6:55. Animal. Good God. You're defending the guy who murdered a cop.
Right. Sick.
Think about it. You know, that's another one of those don't hit sends.
Yeah.
Think about what you're about to send, fool. All right, sponsored now by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. We don't take a long time when it happens like this. Go ahead.
3-2 in favor of the Ducks.
Oof. Mm. 8 in a row.
Okay.
Never thought I'd see it. 8 in a row.
I'll be there tomorrow, though. Good luck, Charm. Back on the winning ways. Let's go for it.
Look at positive.
Joe's going to go out there and get it done tomorrow. Appreciate it. Joe, don't forget, it is BYOS, Bring Your Own Skates Night.
Yeah, buddy.
Because at any point, Q may go, Joe, you're in.
Yeah, and I've been waiting for my opportunity.
Last night would have been the night, because
Joe wasn't available last night.
No, that was unfortunate.
And Joe just got this job, so he's on a lucky streak.
I kind of know an Olympian coming up after 7. Dr. Kevin Most's brother has a couple of great stories. We got to get him on.
Oh, yeah.
Because he kind of knows an Olympian. Like, you know, a couple of them. John, you and I have a show coming up in March. When is it?
We do. March 24th.
Okay.
At the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake. The beautiful Rouse Center where we've been many times. We have Mike Toomey from WGN Morning Television, Tim Banker, myself, and you. How great is that? The 24th, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. You can call the box office at 815-356-9212 or go to rowcenter.org for tickets.
We're getting a bunch of good calls, texts, I should say, from people who have to pay for stuff at work. We'll get to as many of these as we can coming up. 6:57. News at 7. And then we'll do I Kind of Know an Olympian, give away some Hawks tickets. Elise Glink's book, 100 Questions Every First Time Homebuyer Ought to Ask, can actually work for you if you're buying your 50th home.
It's one of the best books I've read it twice. I purchased two properties, read each edition.
And now it's new with updates.
Oh, my God, Steve. It's one of the best books
I'd ever. I'd be happy to sell this one to you for $19.95.
And let me just say, I bought it. So it's not like Elise said, oh, here's my book.
Well, I can make you a deal on this one because this one has new stuff in it.
Okay, good.
Let's do this. Take a break. We'll be back. Thank you for listening, the rest of you, other than that texter, at 6:58 on 720 WGN.
Hey, I know an Olympian.
Do you?
I know him.
Do you really?
Come on. You don't know any Olympians.
Well, I mean, I kind of know an Olympian.
Sure you do.
Okay, well, maybe not.
I know an Olympian.
It's time now for I Know an Olympian, kind of. Let's bring in a seasoned veteran in the world of sports. And I say that with nothing but respect for this individual and all he's accomplished. Patrick Boyle Jr.,
yes.
Age 10. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Bob.
How are you, man? Nice to talk to you again. I called you Pat. You never go by Pat. You go by Patrick, don't you?
Yeah,
my dad here. Sorry, buddy. I didn't mean to call you by the wrong name. What's your dad doing right now?
Probably making a call.
No. Does he normally sleep at this hour when your friend Steve Cochran's on the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Well, he
doesn't school. Yeah. Well, he should listen to the show more often, don't you think?
Yeah.
Will you have a talk with him?
I will.
Yeah, sit him down. Sit him down and have a talk with him and explain why it'd be good for him to listen to more of the Steve Cochran show. Don't you think that'd be a good idea, Patrick?
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right, now, what's the Olympian you kind of know? What's your I Know an Olympian kind of story?
I know Connor Dwyer, sort of. Never met him, but I know him because my swim teacher is Connor Dwyer's mom.
Come on.
Wow.
Seriously?
Yep.
Your swim teacher is Connor Dwyer's mom.
Yep. And I took some lessons with her, and there were other people there too. And then sometimes she would leave because like Connor Dwyer had a meet or something.
Sure. No, I get that.
And then one time she let us wear Connor Dwyer's gold medal.
So you got to wear the Connor Dwyer gold?
Mm-hmm.
Did you bite it? You know how the athletes bite the medals?
Yeah, I didn't bite it because I knew it was actually gold.
But it would have been cool. It would have been cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fascinating story. So, again, you, Patrick Boyle, kind of know an Olympian because your swim coach is Connor Dwyer's mom.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
He's evidently a pretty good swim coach.
Yeah. Well, no question, right?
Right.
It worked out okay.
Yeah.
Patrick, thank you for being on the show today. Unlike your father, you're very dependable.
Don't say that to him.
Don't tell him that. Hey, can I ask him what his favorite winter sport is?
Yeah, well,
are you watching the games, Patrick? What's your favorite winter sport that you're watching?
My favorite.
Take your time. We're on till 10.
It's probably snowboarding.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know what I like, dude? I like that snowboard cross where they send about 50 of them out at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like a car race on a snowboard.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the half pipe when I do.
Yeah, half pipe.
That's good too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at 10 years old, like what's fun for a 10-year-old boy? Because I remember this because Dave and I were 10 once.
Mm-hmm.
You like to just run into each other and fall down and stuff. That's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Patrick's a little more advanced than that, I think, than you two.
All right, Patrick. Good talk. Thanks for being on. You've won nothing.
Oh, give him a pizza. Come on.
Yeah, Sandberg, make up some fake names and give him a pizza or something.
He probably got up early and everything.
He's so cute. God, is he priceless. I love him.
Steve, I don't think the athletes actually bite the gold, by the way.
They don't bite the gold?
I don't think they do.
Well, who bites the gold?
I don't know, people who...
When they get the medal, don't they bite the gold? I thought that was a thing where they bite the gold.
Well, they put it in their mouth, but they don't really bite down on it.
I don't think they let other people bite down on the medals,
Well,
though.
They're made of chocolate, aren't they? Don't you peel the top off of your chocolate?
It's foil.
That's what I thought.
I like when you ask him if you guys bump into each other when they play. He's like, yeah, okay. Whatever, you two losers.
Because this is why my dad doesn't listen to the show.
Did you watch the snowboard cross last
night? Yeah, absolutely.
That is the craziest.
It's cool.
It is the best.
Between that and skeleton.
I would like to see them send all the figure skaters out at the same time. They're all doing their routines at the same time. Some of them run into each other, fall down. Come on.
I'd like to see him interchange events. Like, have the figure skaters do the skeleton and have the big skeleton guys try to, you know, ice dance.
The skeleton is nuts.
It's
the
crazy.
The skeleton where you run out, you jump on the board, you go face first like
face
a bullet,
first.
75 miles an hour.
And your chin is practically touching the ice.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Can you even see what's coming? It's all...
I don't have the flexibility to lift my big head up high enough to actually
what I mean.
See what's coming.
You're face down. It's 90 miles an hour.
What if your shield fogs up?
I don't get it. Right. It's not even comfortable.
Oh, it's awesome, though.
Put some
and then the luge.
Oh, the luge?
You drive it with your feet.
Yeah. You can't even use your hands on the luge.
I like the shoes, though.
With the little knives.
Shoes.
Yeah.
They're kind of cool.
They're like knife spikes in the
front. Who's with me? Send all the figure skaters out at one time.
That'd be awesome.
All the figure skaters perform on the ice at the same time. How about the ice dancers? Huh? Then you're out in pairs. Everybody's on the ice.
Yeah. Hey, that's very difficult.
What about this? You throw your partner to someone else.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
How about they put the dancers out during a hockey game?
See?
Yeah.
Now you're talking. We only have so much ice time. We've got to utilize it the best way possible.
Love it.
And again, the most dangerous sport. Three more athletes, lives were taken yesterday. Curling. Curling.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Guess what? I'm curling Sunday for TV. I'm going to learn how to curl.
Oh, you should. It's fun.
The Glenview Curling Club.
Fun.
Did you see the Norwegians'
Why
pants?
Do you look at me weird? John Cuss gives me this look like, why are you curling? Because it's cool and it's
curling's
fun.
Curling's cool. All the cool kids
curling
are curling.
Curling is hip and
Andrea,
it's in.
You got to hang with the Norwegians. Did you see their pants?
No.
Yeah, they are
the
styling.
The coolest curling pants.
Oh, I got to get some cool pants.
I tell you, I'm just as excited as Mary about the shoes and the pants. It's 7:17. Yeah. 7:21, a Olympic uniform question has come up here in studio, mostly brought up by Andrea, and it involves the speed skater's crotch area.
Well, I didn't phrase it like that.
Well, you kind of did.
But.
All right, so
I use different words.
John DeCoss is here. John, you have to turn your microphone
on. She said hoo-hoo.
How
else would you...
Oh, I can't talk about that right now. Stand by.
Why'd you bring it up, then?
Well, so we're going to get to it, but not right now. Hawker Riddle.
Yes.
All right. First correct caller? No. Second correct caller? No. We start with the seventh. Seventh caller. Seventh caller. That's where we begin. You have to be the correct caller, the seventh, and have the correct answer to the Hawker Riddle. A famous Chicagoan?
Yes. This one will be easy.
You curious at all about why I keep waving these papers at
A little
you?
Bit, okay. To be honest, yeah.
All right, so go ahead and give us the Hawker Riddle.
Okay, here we go. In 99, he was Brooklyn-born, became the Fed's number one thorn. A Southside Cicero, boss of the bar, happy Valentine's Day from a face with a scar.
That's a good one.
Oh, that is good.
That's a good one. Do you think you have it?
I think I know this one.
All right, give it to me one more time.
In 99, he was Brooklyn-born, became the Fed's number one thorn. Mm-hmm. A Southside Cicero, boss of the bar, happy Valentine's Day from a face with a scar.
I don't know this one. Do you know this one?
It could be one of two people.
I got it.
You feel like you've really got it?
No.
No, you don't
really
have it. No, you
don't
have it. She doesn't have it.
At all.
You think you have it?
I totally have it.
Okay, cocky. let me read you a few texts while we get the correct answer here, starting with the seventh caller. The question came up. With cops having to pay for their bulletproof vests. We had the alderman on promoting the pancake breakfast to raise money for cops to fill the gap from their stipend to what they need to buy the bulletproof vest. I brought up the point that I don't think that should be something cops pay for. I think it should be part of the expense of having a police force. Mm-hmm. I don't know if New York and L.A. do it the same way. Be curious to find that out. But anyway, I said, what do you pay for at work? What do you have to pay for at work? And I'm thinking, what do I pay for at work? The headphones, but only because I want my own.
Right. Like the station, you can use these.
Yeah.
They usually break, though.
Am I forgetting something? We got it pretty easy. We got it pretty cushy around here. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Yeah. You think we got it cushy? How about the TV people?
Oh, my
Good
God.
Lord.
Ugh.
Except for Sandberg buys your water.
That's right. That's the one.
Yeah. And it's good water. Yeah.
Let's see. From the 773, my brother-in-law gets $1,800 a year uniform allowance. He uses it to go to Tennessee and hunt. He hasn't bought a new uniform except a hat in years. Okay, 773. If you hate your brother-in-law.
Oh, God. Don't out him. Jeez.
I don't know why you had to tell us.
That is the police stipend, by the way. $1,800.
$1,800. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and again, I
Vests are $500.
A state-of-the-art vest is $500.
$500, yep, but they have to use
okay,
it
so
to
what's the other 1300 come with?
Socks, shirts, ties, bullets, guns.
Hold on, you got to buy your gun?
Yeah.
Wait, how do they not know that? Yeah. You have to buy your own gun?
Yep.
But here's the other thing. If you give
No, no, there is no other thing. That's it. The show's over right here. There is no other thing. You have to buy your own gun.
I think you do, yes.
Does that make sense?
That doesn't sound right. I mean,
I'm not
might be true.
Up.
No, I don't believe you're
the
making
Black
it up.
Now, don't pay for their own sticks.
Now, wait, and now I'm told that vests range anywhere from $400 to $1,000. Like, if you want a plain vest, $400, state-of-the-art.
If you want one that works, it's $1,000.
Well, hopefully they all work, but yeah. Like a high-tech one. So it just depends on what vest you get.
Can you confirm that you have to buy your own gun?
Yeah.
I don't pay for the microphone. I mean, some things don't make sense here.
Yes, you were saying?
What I was going to say was, okay, if they get an $1,800 stipend,
yeah,
then how about we do this? How about instead of going to Tennessee, and I'm not saying that's what he did, but can't
do you hate that brother-in-law as well?
I do. I don't even know him. That guy drives me nuts. No, but what I was going to say was, if you're given that stipend, then how about you justify the stipend? And if you don't use it, then it goes back.
Right.
I don't understand. It shouldn't be at your discretion.
Yeah, yeah. Spend it appropriately.
Yes. It's a stipend.
Teachers are chiming in, and believe me, I have nothing but respect for teachers, and teachers pay for so much of their own stuff. 773, I'm a teacher. I pay more than $200 for my own supplies every year. Pencils, Kleenex, Clorox wipes, hand sanitizer, spare socks, fruit, file folders, scissors. It's first grade.
I have it confirmed, yes. They do buy their own guns.
Why do they have to buy their own
$500?
Okay, here's what I don't understand. Human beings are different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what if somebody buys a bad gun? Does the gun have to be approved somehow?
Oh, I'm sure it does. Yeah, they have to go and qualify, and yeah, they have to use your guns to qualify.
Does every police... This is an education I'm not sure I wanted. First off, the vest thing, and now you got to buy your own gun.
I know.
Do they buy their own cars?
No, those are assigned. Those are assigned.
Yeah. 312, all of my uniform costs are covered by stipends and a uniform allowance, but I work for a small municipality, can't speak to the city. 708, I work in high voltage, and some of my protective gear into walls runs around, my protective gear into walls, I'm not sure what that means, but it runs around $10,000.
Oh my God.
Well, good Lord, I hope they're paying you a lot of money if you're dropping 10G of your own.
God, that's a lot of money.
815, cost of the vest, again, what you just said, could range as high as $1,000.
Yeah.
708, a bulletproof vest for a police officer crosses the line for a uniform item. It should be not considered an item. It should be replaced for and paid for by the city or the union. That's what we're talking about.
I mean, think about it. Our tax dollars, this is what it should go for because they're protecting us. You know, if there's a danger, what do? You call the police.
Well, don't go by me because I think our tax dollars should go to new headphones for Steve.
708, I buy my boots, which are $200 per pair for my job, two pair per year, my gloves, my jackets, my sweatshirts. 847, the police get their first vest free. Well, what is it, Groupon?
No. Is that a twofer?
Buy one, get one?
Act now for separate shipping and handling.
6-3, I'm a science teacher. Every year I have to pay for lab equipment so my students can do stuff. I also buy school supplies for my kids because I teach in a low-income area, usually between $500 and $1,000. And we ain't overpaying teachers, kid.
No. Again, our taxes should be paying for that for schools. Where are those tax dollars going?
6-3, I was married to a cop in the suburbs many years ago. We had to save up to buy a vest. 6-3, I deliver bread. Cost me about $850 a month in gas.
And the company doesn't pay for that?
6-3, apparently not. You would think you'd be driving a company truck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 6-3, I work at a chemical... You think he's like the only one that wasn't told?
I know. That's, I'm sorry. I don't get that one.
He gets a trucking for years.
So what, you're saying...
He doesn't know there's a pump.
You're saying I didn't have to buy this gas?
There's a pump behind a bakery. Nobody told him.
What?
Carmen's in Woodstock. Carmen, hawk a riddle. What's the answer?
It is Al Capone.
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct.
I feel embarrassed to take such almost an easy riddle, but I'm going to.
No, it's good. It's good.
Carmen, I told you. Carmen, I didn't know who it was. Why you got to make fun of me? I'm having a tough morning, Carmen.
That's okay. I hear. Yeah, I know. I know you are.
All right, come here, Carmen. Come here. Thank you, buddy. Hold on. Carmen, winner of the Hawks tickets. We'll come back and do more of this and explain to you Andrea's fascination with the Speed Skaters uniform.
No, I was just curious.
Okay. 729. Headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
$7.40. Thanks to all the texters. Got just an avalanche of texts from people saying nice things that, hey, Steve, you're not a racist. I appreciate that. But the dope who texted earlier that I was a racist because I called the animal who killed Commander Paul Bauer an animal is ridiculous.
It's so, absolutely ridiculous.
Just thank you for all the texts, and not necessary, but I appreciate it. Elise Glink standing by, which is why we played the money song. Her new book is the old book, which has got new stuff in it, and it's great. It's under questions every first-time home buyer should ask. I believe she included in this chapter a love interest in a cute kid next door.
Yeah.
Is that accurate? Is that in the new book?
Absolutely. I mean, you buy a house and you get a whole ready-made family just waiting inside.
Hey, I know you you own your own business, but when you were working for somebody else, did you have to pay for anything on your own job? This came up because of the police having to buy their own vests.
And teachers having to buy their own supplies.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't. But I only worked for somebody else for like the first 4 months in a job and then got fired and then worked for somebody else and then got fired and then decided that was a waste of time. So went to work for myself.
Because obviously you can't hold a job.
Can't hold a job.
Yeah, I understand that. Believe me. here's another one.
Formative lesson, getting fired early in your career.
No, it's important. I recommend it for all. 630, I work in healthcare where we often do x-rays. I can't imagine being told we have to buy our own lead aprons to protect us from potentially harmful radiation. 847, I think anyone who employs a police officer should provide the equipment. I'm a nurse practitioner, buy my own lab coats, my own work shoes, my own stethoscope. However, my employer provides me personal protective equipment and I do the job to stay safe, and the same should go for cops. I agree with that completely. Let's see, 815. I'm the wife of a cop. Not only do many cops buy their own vests, but under Trump's new tax plan, they're not tax deductible. Thanks, Trump.
Oh,
nice.
So there you go. We got a bunch of these coming in, and we'll continue to get to them as time allows. All right. So Andrea recommends your book so much, you put a letter slug it.
I know. I was going to write the foreword, even if you did. I was just going to go book to book at every store, Elise, and just take a Sharpie and write my own comments.
If you would, that would be awesome.
It's honest to God. I bought the book, and then when I bought my second property, you gave me the second edition, or maybe it was the third edition at that point. It is like a Bible for home buyers, and it's so easy to read, and there are tips in there, things that I would never even have thought of, like on the dishwasher.
And by the way, there's more than 100 questions that are out there. Yeah. She had to boil it down to 100 questions. What's the number one question?
The number one question that people ask me is, should I buy a home now? Or should I wait until some mythical event is going to happen where prices either go up or down and interest rates go up or down? And I always say to people, you know, where are you in your life? And this book really reflects the millennials' ideas around experience over material things, around how they source information online with strangers rather than their parents or people who know things, and the tendency for millennials to really actually strike it out on their own. They really want to do that. And so is it right for you at this moment in your life with everything else being the way it is? And if you have to make a decision, real estate is like a snapshot. You take a picture, you see where you are, and you decide to move forward or not.
I think there's math involved in that decision, which makes it easier than that thing to, should I get married? Should I have a baby? Mm-hmm. Those big questions of life. Should I keep my fat pants or my skinny pants in the back of the closet? I mean, those are questions that are harder to answer.
Well, you know, real estate is interesting. People tend to spend less time thinking about buying a house before they go out and do it than they actually do buying a car. And the price tag these days, there's a big differential unless you're buying a Maserati. So I want everybody to spend just a little more time thinking about the single biggest purchase they're ever going to make until they buy their next house.
I have a question. I have a friend getting married in 2 weeks, actually 3 weeks. So she is selling her place, moving in with her boyfriend, now soon to be husband. Mm-hmm. What do you do in that case? Does he put her on the mortgage? Does he not? For tax purposes, you know, what's the right thing to do at that point?
Well, I don't know that he needs to put her on the mortgage, but it would be great if he retitled the property or added her to title. So when people do this, so they're making one good decision, right? She sold her place. She still has the money from that. He's got his place, and she's moving in. So they should be able to save even more money, and maybe, you know, I'm surprised they didn't think about renting out the first place, but maybe they need the money for something else, like the wedding. Yeah. I think you want to be really careful. Adding somebody to the mortgage isn't necessarily the best idea, and it may be problematic because that person never got underwritten, mm-hmm. and the way that loans happen is you have to be underwritten at the beginning, where everybody looks at your credit and your income and all the other stuff, and then it goes off to be sold on the secondary market. So adding her to the mortgage probably wouldn't happen, but if you wanted to add her to title, that would be okay.
It is 100 questions every first-time home buyer should ask. By the way, I would say you should read this no matter how many homes you've owned before. This is good first-time home buyer stuff, but it also is great stuff for people that buy more than one through the course of their life, which is just about all of us. And we don't know that these are questions we should ask and stuff we should do.
You know, there's one thing that millennials are doing that's really interesting. A large preponderance of them, relatively speaking, are buying either second homes first or investor properties before they buy a home they're actually going to live in. So they're very open to, and by millennials, we mean anybody under the age of, like, say, 36, 37.
So yes, these are people that still live at home, like they live with their parents and they go out and buy a rental place?
They either go out and buy a rental place, or by the time they're in their mid-30s, they're not generally living at home anymore, although we saw a lot of crazy stuff happen in the last 10 years after the Great Recession. But what they are doing is when they go out, they typically move out with a friend, and then you move out into your own place, and then you typically buy a house. So that's how it's always been, like, for the last 80 years. And what happens now is there's some thinking, well, I'm living with these people. Rent is really expensive. What if we got together and bought an investment property, and we lived together in one of the units, and we rented out the other one? And that's actually a kind of a new idea. It wasn't as popular 30 years ago as it is today.
It's 100 questions every first-time home buyer should ask Elise Glink. Get two copies. You're careless. You lose the first one. Actually, get a bonus third. And, download it to your Kindle and your Spindle and your Schnindle and anything else you might have where you read it digitally and electronically as well.
It's also a great book, too, because, Elise, I love how you talk about the nuts and bolts of financing, and you make it easy to understand for someone who maybe isn't so good at math.
Speaking of financing, PMI. If you can't avoid PMI, is it a terrible idea to buy a house?
So anybody who puts down less than 20% on a house, which is getting harder and harder to do, is going to pay private mortgage insurance, which is what PMI is. And it's an expensive proposition, relatively speaking, than if you had the down payment. But on the other hand, you don't need the cash, need to have it in hand. So I actually think it's a good idea. The concern that I'm having now is that interest rates have bumped up about 0.5% since you and I last talked about this a few weeks ago, Steve. And now you're looking at about 4.25% for a 30-year fixed. While that's still relatively low, it's going to cause some first-time buyers some consternation because home prices have been going up, interest rates are going up, makes homes a lot less affordable. So important to really think about it. And if the only way you can get in is to buy a house with PMI, then go buy a house with PMI. The other thing you might want to look at is a place called HUDHomestore.com. This is the federally sanctioned place to look for HUD homes, which are FHA foreclosures, so people who get FHA loans and then they just can't make it work, and those houses go into foreclosure, and you can find some pretty good deals there. And there's some good deals there at FHA for teachers and firefighters and police officers as well, which is kind of nice.
Thanks for that, as always. Before we let you go, what's the big money news today?
I think everybody's really focused on the wall and what's going on with DACA. I know I am, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that the Senate can come to some sort of an agreement and help all these people out.
The agreement that they presented yesterday was more than reasonable, and of course it was shot down by the hard right.
And the hard left.
And the hard left. Right, repeat after me. The hard right and the hard left are the problem, not the solution. So...
Yeah.
But it was an attempt at compromise, and I'm sure that since those muscles are very, very rarely used in Washington, they'll be sore tomorrow. That's just disappointing. So we'll see what happens. But who's not disappointed in Congress? Raise your hand if you're not. Congressional moms are disappointed in Congress.
Yeah.
So 100 questions every first-time home buyer should ask from Elise Glink. ThinkGlink.com. Thank you, Elise.
It's a pleasure. See you soon.
See ya. Elise Glink, by the way, is, as always, sponsored by our friends at Grandview Homes. Steve, before I finish puberty and you tease what's coming up here at 8 o'clock, Andrea, and I'm not saying that the rest of the show isn't fascinated by this, but Andrea was really...
I was just curious.
Very curious about the fact that the speed skaters' crotchal regions are different color than the rest of their uniform.
Just a weird look.
And in particular, the center of the different colored area is yet a different color again.
Yeah. Which
so what's
really
going on
pronounces
there?
The whole region.
Yeah, it makes you look at the crotchal.
Yeah, and have you noticed that when they're doing interviews with these folks, they the cameras are tight. They're not up. They're not showing the whole body. So you have to wonder if they're showing the form fittingness of them.
So we need to get to the bottom of this because it's crucial American information that the public must know from sea to shining sea.
So we're going to launch an investigative team immediately.
Yeah.
I think Dave Ennett might have an answer for us.
Because John DeCoste, we can put the C team back together.
Oh yeah!
Investigative unit.
Wow, that's a horrible idea.
You'd have to try the uniform on to get the feel.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Are the short track skaters have the same thing, Andrea?
I don't know. Do they?
I think they do.
I think they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because there's it's basic.
Mike Tirico was wearing one last night. It wasn't a good look
for a different reason, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at some of these publicity photos now. They leaves nothing to the imagination.
Right? All right, Dave, hold your answer because we know you know the answer.
Okay.
Hold your answer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. We could be legends after all.
847, animals are offended because you called that piece of trash an animal that shot the cup.
That's funny.
Another texter helping out this morning with alternative Olympic events. They'd like to see ice square dancing.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Bow to your partner.
No-see-no.
We'll get to more of these coming up, and we'll tell you why it all started. All right, so the crotchal region, Dave, of the speed skaters' outfits are this is the American team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the other teams are like this or not, because, frankly, I haven't noticed this as an issue. But I want to take this up, Andrea, because it's troubling you.
It is a little bit.
The crotchal regions of the uniform are a different color than the rest of the uniform, and then the center area of the different colored fabric is another color still. Dave?
I don't know about the center area, but I do know that there is a different material being used to reduce friction.
Okay, so the rest of the uniform is burlap. And
burlap necessarily.
No, it's wool.
But there are all these new high-tech fibers that basically it's...
They
wick the sweat away, but it's also, if you think about it, speed skaters have these massive thighs. Mm-hmm. And so when they're trying to attain these speeds, they want to make sure that they don't want to slow themselves down.
Dial thing?
So why can't it all be the same color?
Yeah. Well, that part I'm not quite sure.
But it's chafing prevention is what you're saying.
Basically it is.
Yeah,
yes.
Chafing.
It
is.
Totally understandable. I just don't know why it's so accented.
Because
blue,
honestly...
Blue, gray, teeny blue.
Yeah,
well,
the
not so teeny, but...
Right. Well, it depends on the individual.
Could have found the same alternate materials in the same color.
Exactly.
Yeah. It seems like they're going, hey, look what I got here.
I think you're absolutely right, Steve. I think that's the thing, because that's the way fashion works. You're supposed to draw your eye to a region, right?
So it's
down there.
It's like the Victoria's Secret fashion show, and you go, hey, wow, look at the wings.
It's called Armor Glide.
Or pink, you know, like...
Armor Glide is the stuff you use to... You put on... That's the like a, it looks like a deodorant stick.
Wait, what's called Armor Glide?
But there's a product.
It's a super slick material. It's called Armor Glide.
Right, but
there's
my
a product
is,
that comes like in a deodorant... thing, a stick that's called Armor Glide as well, that you can put on various areas of your body so you don't have this problem as well.
So I understand.
So apparently made by the same people.
I understand the anti-chafing.
I
understand the anti-chafing. That's completely understandable.
But why a different color?
Why the different color to
look at it. I think Grzanich is right. It's fashion.
Even the two-tone, you can see the blue and the gray. But do you need blue, gray, teeny blue? Again, sorry, maybe not so teeny blue, but do you need the middle part there?
I don't know if you ever notice this, but sometimes fabrics are difficult
to match when you're using two different kinds of fabrics. Like,
yeah, but you
football
don't have
players
to have a completely different color. Yeah.
Well, but
gray and blue.
I'm very picky, like football uniforms and things, when they're, I'm like, that on the jersey doesn't match the pants correctly.
I am the same way when I watch a football game.
And like
Holy
the helmet
cow.
Colors and things like that. So I think they go with a completely different color, because otherwise you'd be like, did they wet their pants? Because different color blues, it would look like wet, you know.
Now, I don't think of that in this scenario, but
has there ever been a fashion show for athletes on like have like a catwalk and have them?
Yeah, because like before when they debut the uniforms,
they do a fashion show.
Yeah.
Or they walk down a catwalk.
Yeah. Uniform.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Or they stand there with their arms out.
Yeah.
So do the other uniforms for the other athletes, are they someone?
Okay, that's the thing. No.
I just want to point out,
this
Andrea has focused on this uniform and the girl that had the USA on her thigh.
Because I thought it was a tat.
Andrea might just be focused on
that. Yeah, why don't you focus from the waist up from the rest of the Olympics?
I can't help it. It's like they're guiding me. It's like a magnet. They're like, look here. Look at this region. Look at that.
Andrea's gutter Olympics. It's unbelievable.
No. It's just, I had to ask the question. It begged the question. And now, thank you, Dave, for the
answer.
Glad
we had it solved.
Glad I could help.
It's a different fabric. Armor Glide. Ask for it by name. It's going to be like when my mom patched my blue jeans.
Very similar.
Yeah, same sort of thing.
But maybe they should use that for runners, because they get that chafing problem all the time.
Yeah.
Runners, if they have, you know, big thighs.
I believe that's the third time we've mentioned chafing, which is a record for this show.
Is this like a chafing dish?
There's a powder for that, I think.
Okay.
Yes.
But it's a different color.
I'm telling you, though, if any of you have that issue, because I'd like not to say the word again or hear it, use this Glide stuff, this Glide stick. You could buy it at Dick's Sporting Goods. That's the store.
There you go,
you could,
Steve.
But this Glide, there's a bunch of Pro Glide. There's a bunch of different names for it. Stuff works. It's good.
Nicely
As a matter of fact, when I was golfing last year, I put it all over my body. My clothes fell off in the first tee.
Four.
This is the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern. Oh, I got a break, don't I? Or break first, then I'll say what I was about to say on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
The horror of Florida continues, when you take the time to see the faces of these teenage kids that were killed, not to mention the athletic director and the assistant football coach, but these kids who were at the beginning of their lives, they're 15, 16 years old. They're in high school having a blast, right? I mean, I loved high school. And these kids, they're gone. Brothers, sisters, parents, family crushed, friends crushed, all because a mentally ill individual was able to get a gun. And in Florida, in Illinois, look, there's a lot of trouble with this state. But Illinois is one of two states in the country which make you wait till you're 21 to buy an AR-15, which seems like a no-brainer. We're literally one of two states. So the New York Post, a very conservative tabloid in New York City, which many of you are familiar with, owned by Rupert Murdoch, who is still in touch with President Trump every week and has known him forever. The New York Post headline, "Mr. President, please act. We need sensible gun control to help stop the slaughter." And then calls out the president to do the right thing. Donald Trump has an opportunity here to do the right thing in a way that that Bill Clinton failed, George Bush failed, Barack Obama failed. But it's his turn to man up. The speech yesterday did nothing. The speech was just words on a teleprompter. Yeah. He's got a chance here to step up and do the right thing and lead on legislation for common sense changes in gun laws to not cure the problem. It's not going to cure it, but to make a difference. And it starts with an assault weapons ban. And he could do it. Because if he pushes the cowards in Congress to do this, they will follow. So, Mr. President, I hope you'll act. And I'm glad the New York Post, one of his favorite newspapers, is taking him to task on it. We'll get to what's coming up at 8:30 in a second, but let's get started here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning, you.
Well said with all that.
Thank you for that.
By the way.
You ever wake up with a headache?
Yeah.
You know, I sleep on the MyPillow and the mattress from Mattress, and it's never a problem. And I usually wake up, well, all the time. This is the first time.
Refreshed.
The first time I've woken up with a headache in, I don't know, 2 years. And I couldn't be in more of a miserable mood. I can't shake the headache. I don't know.
Well, have you taken anything?
Well, I'm drinking. You know, drinking heavily. You know, I've got that going this morning. Yeah.
Yeah, that helps.
So, I don't know. I don't want you to worry, though. I'll be fine.
I found when I get a doozy like that, that a couple of Excedrin knocks it right out.
You still take aspirin. Good for you. That's old school, man.
I never had a doozy. I had a headache.
That's a medical term. What types of headaches? Doozy.
I was going to have my doozy cut off. Surgically removed, I mean. And the aspirin works because there's Excedrin. There's caffeine in it also. So it constricts the blood vessels and knocks the headache out right away.
Look at you with your medical school stuff going on here.
Pay attention when Dr. Kevin Most is on.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah. Jennifer Aniston's in the news. Amy Schumer's in the news. And you've got a couple of reviews. Were you at the theater last night?
I was at the theater last night.
Pictures of Dean in all the society pages this morning.
Opening night of the new Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. Which, by the way, we're there to see an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. Milling around the lobby because, I like to do that so people can recognize me.
Right. Good job, Chet.
Yeah, I stand like right in the middle so everyone can see it's me.
Right.
We're here for some fine theater from, arguably one of the greatest composers of all time.
Uh-huh, except for Cats.
And people are talking about our Elton John karaoke instead.
Oh, no.
From yesterday.
That's funny.
Well, it was a proud moment.
I'm expecting them to come up and talk about...
My favorite was Ross Cochran, who listens to the podcast every day, podcast at WGNradio.com, and every place else you get the podcast.
Sounds like a plug.
And Ross Cochran, my son, who, I love more than anything, my son looked at me and he went, "So I heard you and Dean." And I went, "What'd you think?" He goes, "What's wrong with you, pups?"
Oh my God. Nicest compliment we can get.
Yeah.
Question resonating all over the Chicago.
You're really only encouraging us when you say stuff like that. Uh-huh. I had a couple of very nice, very well-dressed theater goers. They practically should have had like a monocle on.
Is that right?
Were like very sophisticated
theater goers. The real deal.
And said, they enjoy this segment. You guys are idiots.
Yes.
We know that.
Wear that badge.
Yeah, we know that.
You know, we have I'm with stupid t-shirts when we appear in public and they're pointing at both of us.
Mine points at Steve and Steve's points at where my doozy used to be.
Yeah. I actually have an arrow that spins. Makes it really fun.
Like that's the speed skater uniform?
Yeah. With
the,
a little different.
The three-tone colors?
Yeah, and the area is a little different.
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet too.
David.
Although my heart is falling too.
Does it sure?
I'm in love with your body. Last night you were in my room. Now my bed sheets smell like you. Every day there's something brand new. I'm in love with your body. Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh. I'm in love with your body.
Dave's grown son and daughter.
I'm in love with your body.
Are very creeped out right now.
Yeah, and your grown son and daughter, too. And your granddaughter.
And the rest of us?
It's not good when 2-year-old Abigail goes, "What's wrong with Dave?" Oh, that's fantastic. Dean Richards rejoins us.
I'm mortified.
Every time that song comes on the regular radio, my stepkids, Catherine and Patrick, sing the Dave Bennett version, and they really... enunciate the A-O-A, how he sings
A-O,
it.
A-O-A-O-A-O. The lyric sheet, it says A-O on Dave's song.
Whatever.
I know, I'm just jealous.
Artistic license.
We have Ed Sheeran tickets to give away. We'll do that before 9 o'clock, so stand by for that. All right, so what's the Jennifer Aniston story?
She's splitting up with her husband, Justin Theroux.
Oh, I'm going to get a call. You know that's going to happen.
That's going to be awkward.
Yeah. What? They were just showing their house in the People magazine.
Yeah, apparently they want to sell it. They don't need it anymore.
I wonder if I could block her number.
They've been married for 2.5 years.
Yeah, I know.
Seemingly very lovey-dovey.
Not so much.
But yesterday, Jennifer's publicist issued a statement saying the decision was mutual, lovingly made at the end of last year.
That's usually how split-ups are, lovingly split-ups, yeah.
They are two best friends who decided to part ways as a couple, but they're looking forward to continuing their cherished relationship.
I love you so much, I'm leaving.
Right?
That's usually the way
that
it
makes
works.
Makes no sense.
So is this her fault then, Steve? Because she was with Brad, then she's with whoever else.
She obviously hasn't gotten over me.
Well, that
I mean, you know, and I feel bad about it because I don't know Justin Thoreau, but it seems like a nice enough guy.
Can I interject that both Jennifer and Brad Pitt are now available?
Yeah, Brad doesn't call.
They're both single again.
Yeah,
I don't know if she'd take him back.
Well, I always felt like he should go to the back of the line because if you dump Jennifer Aniston for Angelina Jolie and then you blow up the Angelina Jolie thing, back of the line
right.
for you. Yeah. So,
did they have a name together? The Pitt.
Bennifer.
Oh, Bennifer. That's what it was.
Oh, no. That was.
No, that's not right.
Jennifer. Oh, Jennifer Lopez. Aniston Jennifer and Justin Thoreau?
No, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Anna Pitt?
Japitt.
Japitt.
Brennifer?
Doctor, I've
they
got an Anna Pitt.
well, listen.
Selling, I think I may have some Anna Pitt.
Listen, good luck, and I'm having all of Jennifer Aniston
calls. I take doozies to get rid of my Anna
Pitt. She needs that glide stuff.
I'm having all of Jennifer Aniston's calls forwarded to Dean's number.
Well, just to balance things out in the world, yesterday it was announced that Amy Schumer got married, surprised wedding last week to her boyfriend, Chris Fisher.
Who's Chris Fisher?
Chris Fisher is...
the guy she married?
Yes. Let's go with that.
What am I listening to?
I have no idea what that is.
Is there a band warming up behind you or something?
We're very theatrical.
Black Panther, the movie. Now, I remember when you didn't review this, you liked it.
I loved it when I didn't review it. But today, while I'm reviewing it, Steve, it turns out I still love it.
Wow.
It's an amazing movie in on many, many, many levels. It is a spectacular Marvel superhero action movie that's based on a king of a supposedly third world African nation called Wakanda, not the northwest suburb. Turns out, completely different.
Spelled the same?
Not spelled the same.
Okay.
Not, but throughout the movie, you're going to hear Wakanda, Wakanda, Wakanda.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there in Los Angeles, chuckling to myself every time that comes
sure.
up.
Sure.
So I thought it was hilarious. But the king of this nation is killed in a terrorist attack. His son, played by Chadwick Boseman, ascends to the throne to protect the kingdom and the people, and they have secretly advanced technology and a precious metal there that gives the king special powers to transform into the superhero Black Panther. So he barely gets on the throne when he's challenged by bad guys. And I don't know if you've ever barely got on the throne.
Oh, yeah. I hate when I'm on the throne and bad guys challenge
bad
me.
Bad guys are challenged at trying to steal your technology and your special compound. But this sets off the superhero back and forth.
Yep.
The fight. That's the superhero part of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But what despite the fact that there are several Oscar winners in this movie, the real star of this movie is its message and what it says outside of the plot. This is maybe the best female empowered movie for a Marvel movie. And I would say maybe outside of Wonder Woman, I can't think of too many other movies that show women in strong, powerful roles.
Who's the star female?
Very important. Lupita Nyong'o, the Oscar winner,
sure.
is one of them. Angela Bassett mm-hmm. is one of them.
Angela Lansbury?
Not Angela Lansbury. Mm-hmm. She is not this one.
I'd like to see her in it, though, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
That would be good. The king's honor guard warriors mm-hmm. are all fierce-looking women that look like they would kick your butt in a second.
What about the Golden State Warriors? Are they in the movie?
His little sister is a technology genius, and behind all the technology in this technologically advanced village. Mm-hmm. So you have that. It's a very strong female
so you're a big fan.
Oriented movie. But also, I just want to mention the one other thing that's overwhelming in this movie, the sense of self-identity for African culture, African heritage, and the powerful positions that are in this movie for black people in this movie, which you don't normally see in motion pictures, where all of the major characters and roles and positions of power and authority are all held by black people in this movie. It's very different, and I think especially for little kids who don't get very many positive role models up on the big screen, they will be walking a little taller when they leave this movie.
Well, it sounds like it's a feel-good movie for anybody, right?
It really is a feel-good movie for anyone. Really fun, really important. Dean's List A on this
one. Andrew Lloyd Webber's Love Never Dies playing where?
It's at the Cadillac Palace Theater. This is the sequel to Phantom of the Opera. And it's, you know...
Midnight! I'm sorry. I was just warming up.
That's Cats, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's why I stopped after midnight. Yeah, I realized I had the wrong play.
It turns out in this show, it becomes midnight several times.
Okay, well, that's my point, then.
The Phantom rekindles his romance with Christine in the show, only now she's married and has got a kid. It's not lost on me that the two choices that she has is this jerk husband of hers who spends most of his time in a bottle of booze, or this obsessive old flame who wants to completely control her. Me Too clearly was not around when this play was written. So that's a little bit weird. In fact, the storyline, there are lots of subplots.
It's gonna come out tomorrow!
Where he gets a little... The plots get a little...
Is that Phantom?
A little too esoteric. Kind of muddy the whole thing up a little bit. It's the case of the individual pieces of this production.
Master of the House.
Stronger than
that one drunk too.
Than the production as a whole.
I heard Dean.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweep.
So it's not a glowing review.
It's above average.
Okay.
But the individual performances, the performers are spectacular. The production.
If I were a rich man,
and I also there are several local performers in this. The actress who plays Christine is from Lyons Township. Megan Piserno, Chicago Theater favorite Karen Mason is in this, and I want to point out 13-year-old Casey Lyons, who is, full disclosure, the son of our news director here at WGN.
Ah, cool.
This kid is a superstar, voice of an
angel.
That's
what I hear. He's just a little guy, right?
He's 13 years old.
Well, that's what I mean. He's not some 21-year-old actor.
No, but he's gone through community theater. He's played a lot of the theaters here in the Chicago area. But he's been at the Lyric Opera, and now he's part of a national tour. And he's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. So I love this. I gave it a Dean's List B. If anyone heard any of the review whatsoever, you'll...
And Megan's going to be...
You'll know why I feel...
Megan's coming in studio after 9 o'clock as well.
Oh, great.
So Christine will be here. We'll play her review back for you.
Let's make it sound like I was a distraction.
No, not at all.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, I think most people have those new radios that have the Steve filter on them. You can push a button and it cuts right through. Casey Lyons is going to be on our show this morning, and the actor who plays the Phantom is going to be on my radio show on Sunday.
Cool.
The music of the night.
At least that's the right one, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
We thought we'd end in a positive way.
I can't jump in on this. It's too hard to read the karaoke on this.
Ed Sheeran tickets coming up. And something for the auto show, too. Because there's only a couple days left of the auto show. Oh, it's okay when you sing, but it's not okay when I sing.
That's annoying. I'm in love with the shape of you.
Are you on the radio Sunday?
We push. Yes, I am.
From 9 to 1?
The stars, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. with the stars. We'll have the stars of Black Panther 2.
You would think in a two-day work week I could have had this put together today, but I really didn't have it put together.
And now my bed sheets smell like you.
By the way, that's not Dave. That's Dean.
Yeah, thanks, because I didn't want people to be confused.
All right, see you later. Back with the headlines next, 720 WGN.
You ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase is trademark, not to use the tradition of Ricky Bobby.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Last few days of the Chevy Family Fun Zone at the Chicago Auto Show. Goes through Monday, because Monday's President's Day. And there's something I wanted you guys to know. When I was out at the Family Fun Zone, the Chevy Family Fun Zone, there's a custom car section, which is really cool. And it's done by this guy named Ken Lagenfelter. And Ken joins us now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. How are you?
Nice to talk to you again. I was knocked out by the work your company does, and I wanted to make sure people knew about it. So when they're at the auto show, they make sure they come by the Chevy Family Fun Zone and see the cars. What do you have out there?
Well, you know, we've been displaying at the Chicago Auto Show now for about 10 years, and it's a great show, by the way. I was really pleased to be out there for press day.
Right.
And we've got four examples there. We've got a Camaro ZL1 1LE. This is the high-performance Camaro that's got all the latest and greatest in it. Just the look of the car is enough to get your attention. But
sure.
Underneath the hood, we've added a few of our goodies, and it makes about 720 horsepower. Along with getting around the track with all the great job that General Motors did with suspension and additions to make that car really move.
A little more than your grandma, 720 horsepower.
Yeah, just a little bit more. You know, our customers really love the General Motors products we work on, but they always want a little more, and we're always glad to apply that. So, but there's also a ZL1 720 black convertible there that I just think is absolutely stunning. General Motors did a great job with the styling on it, and so we brought that to show off. And we have a new Chevrolet Tahoe also there. This is a year they've added the 6.2 liter engine with that, and that's the LT1 that gives us a lot of opportunity to once again give it some more horsepower. So that example makes about 605 horsepower, and will be one of our regular product lines. People can buy their new Tahoe and then send it to us, and we can give them a little bit more power on that.
Sure.
And then the car that I think is getting the most attention out there is a Grand Sport replica. I think you remember, Steve, we talked about it's a red car. It's got an LT4 engine. That's the same engine that goes into the Z06 Corvette, the new one. So it's got the really old look, very, very light. You can have it built to take on the track, or you can have a nice interior put on it with air conditioning and take it to car shows and pop the hood and beat on your
chest. It's amazing.
You know,
it's amazing. And it's such an eye catcher. Everybody stops to see it. How many of those exist in the world?
You know, we built about 30 so far. Mm-hmm. Again, Superformance is the company that produces the body and the rolling chassis, and then we add the engine and drivetrain.
It's amazing.
And
I was talking to Ken about this. He gets parts from all over the world.
Well, you know, we sell parts in Dubai and in Europe and in the Middle East. I mean, it's we're a high performance dealer. We've been in business for 45 years, and so our brand, you know, has been around that long, and people really understand what we do, and that's what's helped us build our business.
Yeah, and it's all quality. Ken Lagenfelter at the auto show in the Chevy Family Fun Zone, Andrea.
Ken, I have a crazy question for you. With most of these cars, are they ever driven? Or are they mostly just kind of collected and shown?
Stuff Ken makes is out of there. It's on the road.
Your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever would say, don't step in my car. I'm not.
Yeah, well, you might get that.
Yeah,
because, you know, car guys, but the fact is that no, most of our cars are built and able to be driven on the street. We do have customers that just really want to focus on racing solely, and so obviously, you know, you can't take a car like that on the street. But I would say the majority of our cars are streetable. In fact, many have them shipped right from when they're brand new, right from the dealer, right to us, and we make our modifications, and then they come drive them away from there.
In all the years you've been doing custom cars, what is the craziest thing a customer's asked for?
You know, it runs the gamut, really, when it comes right down to it. And that's one of the things that's so much fun about the car business and the aftermarket business. But, you know, I guess it's a matter of how much somebody will go to beat maybe a friend or something on the drag strip or on the racetrack. You know, when it comes to, you know, that kind of thing, there's no holds barred. You just go for what you can. And we've had some pretty extreme horsepower, right up to 1,400, 1,500 horsepower.
How about that? It's a freaking rocket.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So, anyway, I want people to know you're out there, Ken, and your product's out there for a few more days before the auto show is up. What's the website for what you guys do?
It's just Lingenfelder.com, and there's a lot to look at there, and there's a spot on there that says LingenfelderCollection.com, and that talks about our car collection up in Brighton, Michigan that we use for charity purposes. So there's a little short video. If you hit that button, it'll give you a 30-second tour.
Yeah, so. That's nice. Well done by you. Nice work. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Lingenfelder.com. Check that out. You don't have to be a complete car nut to appreciate how good that work is.
I still think I would put it in like a glass garage and just look at it.
Yeah, and I can't imagine making the Chevy Tahoe even more powerful.
White lightning.
I did it.
You did.
What's coming up at 9, Steve?
Nighttime each sensation.
This is not Ed Sheeran.
You sure?
Yeah, no, it's not Ed Sheeran.
And weeks.
I tell you, that Andrew Lloyd Webber rocks, though, doesn't he?
He sure does.
Silently the
I remember I took Dean to an Andrew Lloyd Webber concert, and for the encore, he climbed on my shoulders when this was going on.
What a sight.
Well, not for long. I fell. All right, give me a little Ed Sheeran. Come on. Quit messing around.
The
here
TV isn't the best place to get an update. GN Radio is where I go. The man at the bottom and top of every hour with his signature, Go Cats Go. Come over, get an update confirmation. It must be. Trust me. Give it a chance now. Turn the dial. Stop. It's the man here on Steve's show. And then he starts to talk, and now we're listening. Dave, we need your play-by-play. Your voice sometimes the only reason we stay. Come on now, we need a live feed. You call the games, it's all we need. Say, Dave, we wish you'd call the Bears, Bulls, Hawks, Cubs, and Sox is all that we need. All right now, do a live read. Come on now, do a live read. Dave, we love when your voice comes through. The best voice ever at NU. And we can't get enough of you. We all tune to Dave Anik. And the best part about your booth is that the microphone smells like you. There ain't nobody else can do it like you. We all tune to Dave Anik.
How about that?
And you, and you, and you.
How about that?
We all tune to Dave Anik.
How good is that, huh? That's John DeCoste.
We all tune to Dave Anik.
Well, the letdown now is we got to give away the tickets. It's not going to be as good as that. Ed Sheeran tickets, free for the first person who can answer this redheaded riddle. You know, there's a lot of ways you can go on this contest. Nobody saw a riddle coming. Pair of tickets for Ed Sheeran, his 2018 North American Stadium Tour, Soldier Field, October 4th. A lot of people on this show doubted that Ed Sheeran could sell enough tickets to fill up Soldier Field. I wasn't one of them. Get tickets starting today. At 10 a.m.
Is that how that works?
That's pretty much how it went down, as I remember it. Ticketmaster.com. All right, what's the riddle?
Here we go. Born and raised in New York City, as a child actress, she was cute and pretty. Mm-hmm. This mean girl caught in a parent trap can't believe that Walt Disney put this party girl on the map.
Seventh caller who can answer that riddle, 312-981-7200. You got it?
I do.
Got it.
I do, too.
You really have it?
I think I do.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure about this
one. So you're really confident in
that. Yeah, somewhat.
We'll tell you what those ticket winners' names are in just a moment. And we'll get you news as well as we start the 9 o'clock hour on CLTV on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to Endless Love in the Dark?
I just want to make clear that Lionel Richie and Diana Ross do not appear in this play.
No.
Ed Sheeran's not in the play either.
No.
So, well, listen, have you seen it yet?
No, in fact, I was supposed to go last night. I'm going to hopefully go within the next week or so, but I'm dying to see this. Love Never Dies.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's sequel. It's a sequel. Oh. I don't know if you're familiar with that. to Phantom. Not really. Is sequel the right word in theater? The second edition, the follow-up. Megan, help me out here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could call it a sequel, but it's, you know, sequels are like the unicorns in music theater. They don't happen very frequently. But that being said, it's also a piece that really could be a standalone piece. I mean, it's a beautiful show, and it makes sense to people that have never seen Phantom of the Opera, and it also makes perfect sense to people who also saw Phantom.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Is it legal not to have seen Phantom?
I was going
to
say for the one person on the planet who hasn't seen it, should they see it before they see Love Never Dies?
Oh, you don't have to. Actually, like, no offense to my parents, but they had never seen Phantom of the Opera before they saw me in Love Never Dies. Uh-huh. Now they have seen Phantom of the Opera.
They did it backwards.
Yeah. You know, they went to the end of the story first.
What were you doing when you got cast?
I was in New York City with New York City Opera, and I was cast in a show called Candide.
Sure.
By Bernstein, Cunegonda. Yeah. And I was directed by the legendary Hal Prince.
Wow.
And
look at you, big shot.
You're from Chicago.
I try. But he's amazing. He's one of my mentors now. And afterward, he and she's like my fairy godmother, Pat Birch. She choreographed Grease, you know. Subtle. Right. But
it ain't name dropping if it's true. Right?
Exactly. Right? Yeah. No, but they were like, kiddo, would you ever do Broadway? Because I'm from the opera world. And I said, yeah, why not? And so right after Candide, this was back in January, he's like, have you ever seen Phantom of the Opera? And I was like, no, I haven't. But I've heard it, obviously. And he's like, I'm going to get you seats. Go see Phantom. And I was like, okay. So I went to see Phantom not even a year ago. And I loved it. I thought it
was blown away.
Yeah, blown away. And right. It makes sense. I mean, they just celebrated 30 years on Broadway, the longest running show ever in history.
How about that?
And
same mask, by the way.
Yeah. And and I saw it. And then a week later, I was brought in to do this show. And this is the first time that it's Love Never Dies is premiering in the United States. And I sang for the casting agent, and then I met Andrew Lloyd Webber shortly after that, sang for him in the morning, and was cast in the afternoon. And that's how my strange, crazy, rare kind of casting happened.
Wait, what is that like, performing for Andrew Lloyd Webber? I mean, I know you're a performer and you're used to auditioning, but holy cow, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber.
You know, it's amazing, actually. I mean, for me, again, coming from the opera world, I don't usually get to speak or interact with the composers that I'm singing their music of because they're long gone. And so I was mostly really excited because Andrew Lloyd Webber is truly one of the most brilliant musical minds of our time.
Right.
And iconic, I mean, you know. And so to meet him, and he was the loveliest man ever. I mean, in my audition even, you know, he was standing up and he was like, why don't you try it this way? And, you know, and we were laughing. It was kind of one of the most fun auditions.
Well, that's
kind of
cool, though. So he was asking you to stretch and see if you could do a different thing.
Exactly. He was amazing. Wow. And then after I was cast, we had lunch. And I was...
Did he pay? Did he pay for lunch? Because I wouldn't take the part unless he picked up the check for lunch.
I'll have an extra side salad, too, with lobster.
Yeah, I'll take the caviar, please.
By the way, Megan plays Christine, and Megan, your last name is?
Paterno.
And for anyone that is a member of the Paterno clan, she has no more tickets. For those of you who are current, future, or past Paternos. Love Never Dies at the Cadillac Palace, including, we're a little partial, as you know, to one cast member. Because
Casey Lyons,
who plays Gustav, is he 13?
He is 13. Yeah.
13 and going on 40. He's amazing.
And I hear he's tremendous, right?
He's incredible. I mean, really. I have no idea how he's doing. Both of the children.
What were you doing at 13?
Like picking grass, looking up at the sky. And,
That's a pretty cloud. That's a pretty cool. We were talking off the air. You went to Illinois Wesleyan?
I went to Illinois Wesleyan for undergrad and then Manhattan School of Music in New York City for grad school.
And grew up in LaGrange?
Grew up in LaGrange, Illinois, yeah.
So this is a homecoming for you. How cool is this? I mean, your hometown.
It's mind-blowing. So yesterday was our official opening night, and I was really emotional. It was awesome to be here. It is awesome to be here. So,
and how was the show last night? Because our own Dean Richards was there, and he said it was tremendous.
It was incredible. I mean, first of all, Chicago audiences, I love you. Keep coming. You're fabulous. And just the energy that was pulsing through. I mean, you can really, like, a sixth sense feel the theater. And it was such an exchange that was happening last night. I mean, we were on fire, and the audience was on fire. And it was, I was buzzing until, like, 3 a.m. So
I think that'll resonate through the whole run, too, because Chicago, we love our theater. You know what I mean? So maybe, you know, in 2 weeks from now, you'll still get that same rendition or that same rousing applause.
Oh, I totally agree. It's awesome.
How's it cast? Did everybody love each other?
Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, like, we really lucked out because, I mean, we're on tour. Yeah,
you better like each other.
Oh, well, I've heard stories that sometimes it doesn't happen, but we are truly like...
See, I've heard that about opera. I've heard in opera, it's like a soap opera. You're all at each other backstage, and sometimes it's in another language, so who knows? But our opera cast, they all love each other as well?
You know, it's really cast to cast for, like, for any show you're in, whether it's
Let's
Broadway.
Out the women you've worked with who you don't like.
It's so lovely, all of them.
It's cool. You know, though, it is cool to see the behind-the-scenes pictures because Jen, our boss, Casey's mom, and has been posting pictures of the tour. And, you know, you can see his dad with the backpack going to the laundromat, and there's the cast, hanging out at the coffee shop.
As glamorous as it can be, I mean, literally, like, I've taken, like, a coffee stirrer and have tried to eat yogurt because you're like, oh, man, I don't have any type of utensils in here today. And you're like... Christine Daae trying to eat yogurt.
Right.
Not happening today.
Right,
like,
right.
I mean, it's bad.
Licking it out of the container.
Literally, you're just like, I'm so hungry right now.
How spent are you after a show?
Well, you know, I tell you. I mean, I don't know if you can tell now. I have, like, squirrel cheetah energy. So for me, I love, like, I'm an adrenaline junkie. And, like, for me.
I've never heard the phrase squirrel cheetah energy.
That's
no,
awesome.
But really, like, I get such a rush and a thrill every night. Being on the show, so I mean it's emotionally exhausting for me because I really do give 150% every single show. But after the show, I mean, really, all that energy is pumping through my veins for a good amount of time. So, I mean, I'm up until the wee hours of the morning, which is why then I'll wake up at, like, noon and be like, here I am. I'm ready again. Like,
all right, let me ask my producer something here. Can Troy join us at 9:40, or is he got to go, like, now? Can we check that out? Because I'd love to have you hang around for a segment if we could work it out.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to do it now. Can you hang around for a few minutes, huh?
Can I?
Can we break? All right, let's do this. We'll come back with Troy, and then we'll talk more with Megan.
Perfect.
And we'll start it all over like we haven't plugged it yet.
Right, and all our relatives can call in.
No.
I didn't even know that was an option. Like, I would have sent out the bat signal and it would be like, ding, 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 ding. It's like my Big Fat Greek Wedding. Literally, like, I was like, Cousin Cher, like, I haven't heard from you.
Yeah, by the way.
They want front row seats.
She's Greek, you're Italian. You know everyone in town.
Oh, God, our
we'll take over the world.
There you go.
Megan Paterno is here. We'll do more on Love Never Dies in a little bit, but Troy will join us in just a second.
Pocket picked by Murray. The shot. Hawks win. Hawks win.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1. The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
We continue live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Is Troy ready? Troy Murray joins us. Troy was nice enough to jump on the show when we were in Vegas the other day. And we thought this would all be behind us by now, Troy. But last night, another Hawks loss in an inexplicable streak here. I don't know. Has anything changed since Vegas?
Well, they played better last night. They really did. And when you break down the numbers from last night, it's probably the best game that they've played in a while as far as creating scoring chances and doing some of the things that Joel Quenneville wants them to do more consistently. And, you know, unfortunately, they're in a rut right now where just things aren't going their way. They made a couple of mistakes, and it was in the back of their net. So you move on to the next game tomorrow night against Washington and hope things turn around in that game.
We are spoiled by success here in the Hawks raising the bar so high with three cups in such a short period of time. But this, as we talked about the other day, this has just been beyond odd, not just this streak, but all year with the stops and starts that have gone on. How much of that do you attribute to the fact that Crawford's been out?
Well, if you had Crawford, Steve, you know, you would be picking up some wins here. And I think for quite a while there, the Blackhawks goaltending was sufficient to give them an opportunity to win some hockey games. I mean, their key players haven't been producing at the rate that you would expect them to. History-wise, is that they need to be much better. But when you have a guy like Corey Crawford back there, he'll make the big saves at the right time. You know, there was a couple of subpar performances by the goaltenders on this recent road trip, and that kind of hurts the overall morale. And when you have a guy like Corey Crawford back there, that, you know, he's just the backbone, and they know what they have with Corey, and they trust in what he can do out there. I think maybe some of the things that Corey was masking is probably overall team issues has kind of come to the forefront here, because Corey was so good, and they were finding ways to win hockey games because of great goaltending. And, you know, the Blackhawks right now looking for some offense to support the non-position that Corey's in right now.
Troy, what's the challenge for the coaching staff when you're going through a situation like this, when you have a team with so many young players and you don't want those young guys to feel like, well, this is the way it is, and to accept it, that this is the way it's always going to be?
You know, it is a good challenge. And actually, Joel Quenneville kind of referred to that question the other day when asked, as far as, you know, we're trying to find different ways to keep it positive. And that's what you have to do. You know, nobody's happy. Nobody's smiling. Nobody likes to lose. But the reality is they're in that position. And how do you keep the attitude positive inside the locker room? How do you keep the young guys interested in, you know, producing like you hope they would produce? And that's a tough challenge. And Joel Quenneville has done different things like line changes and everything, and trying to find some right chemistry. I think the core group of guys inside that locker room have been tremendous over the years as far as keeping everything on an even keel. But even those guys are starting to get frustrated. So it's a real tough balance right now to find the motivation and try to keep things positive and looking at, you know, a small picture rather than the big picture, which at this point looks pretty bleak. But, you know, Joel Quenneville also said, listen, this is a real test for some of these young players and the core group of guys. We want to see what guys still want to compete and what guys right. are not giving up on the season. And that's what you want to see. You want to see that in practices. They have to come to the rink with a purpose, leave there feeling that they've improved their game in some way, shape, or form, gotten better shape, or whatever it needs to be. And I think that's going to be a telltale sign down the road here for not only for, you know, Coach Quenneville to look at the players who want to play, which he's given those guys more ice time right now. He's made no bones about it. You know, Tommy Wingles, Lance Boma, those guys are competing at a high level and they're getting rewarded with it for ice time. He wants to see that work ethic. He wants to see what type of character the players have as they move forward down a tough stretch like this.
Sod scores last night. You know, a baseball player in a slump finally gets a hit, and maybe they start raining. Does it work that way in hockey? Would you expect Sod to start finding the back of the net now?
Well, you hope he does. And you could just see when he scored that goal that there was a lot of relief in his body language and his facial expressions, that he was pretty excited for that puck to go in. It was a great play by Vinny Hinostroza. And you hope Brandon Sod finds that confidence because, excuse me, I don't think he's gone through a slump like that in his career here in the NHL. And I think that for players, you know, same like a baseball player, if you start feeling better about yourself and you kind of break that egg, you hope that you get on a hot streak here and things start going in your direction.
I don't even know if you can answer this question on the air. Is there a slump buster in hockey? Is there something, is it an individual lucky thing?
You know what?
Should I call you after the show with that question?
No. But a lot of guys, and just a little thing that they'll do, they'll change the color of the tape that they use.
Is that right?
From white to black. Yeah, they'll do that. It just gives you a little bit of a different look. But I always said on the flip side, if you're switching the color of tape on your sticks, then you're signaling to everybody that you're going through some issues.
That's exactly right. I hadn't thought about that, but sure, everybody knows. MB Financial Bank sponsoring Breakfast with a Blackhawk with our friend Troy Murray. Here's the question from Marilyn Harden, listener of the show. Do any of the players ever choke on their mouth guards? I didn't see that coming.
Well, I swallowed my teeth.
Right. Did you have a mouth guard?
No, that's probably why I swallowed my teeth.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of guys skating with you. I mean, mouth guards for hockey, for everybody, what was that, 2000, 2005, somewhere in there?
I don't know. I mean, we had them back in the day, but a lot of players wear them now, and they're smaller, and they protect better than probably what they did back in the day. But, you know, you see Patrick Kane, I don't know how his mouth guard helps him because he's always chewing on it. And, you know, you look at these guys around the league, and it doesn't even look like they're wearing it.
Yeah, it's a binky.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what they've switched to, is the binky mouth guard.
That's exactly right. It ought to be sponsored. Congratulations, Marin. You get an autographed Chicago Blackhawks hockey puck courtesy of MB Financial Bank. One of the players will sign that puck for you. MB means business. All right, Troy, you guys make it interesting, regardless of the outcome on the ice. John Weidemann, Troy Murray tomorrow night. It's the Caps and the Blackhawks. And you know what? This is the one. This is the one. It's going to end tomorrow night.
This is it. You're right.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
MB Financial Bank sponsoring Breakfast with a Blackhawk, and the headlines are next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Talented, funny, fun, beautiful. I'm not talking about me this time. I'm talking about Rachel Ray, who joins us now from the studios of Channel 9. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you? Thank you for all those lovely compliments. I was wondering who you were talking about.
You were going to return them to me. I know. You were saying the same thing. I understand.
I was. I was thinking it the entire break.
I could read that. Cook Your Way to Culinary School is a very cool thing. Four young chefs competing for a chance to win a $25,000 scholarship from your Yummo organization. By the way, I'm seeing Yummo everywhere.
Yeah, you know, all of our products since day one, all of our pots and pans and mop beans and all that, we really created a system, a business model,
yeah,
to fund Yummo. I don't have human children. My daughter's a pit bull, so
right.
I wanted to kind of pay it forward to the next generation, and we try and spend about a third of our dollars to improve the quality of school food for American kids, a third to just go to hunger programs, large and small, to eradicate hunger, and a third of our money goes to scholarship programs. And today, we have four kids from all over the country, and each one of them is such an inspiring story. And these kids have overcome so much, and their vehicle is their ability to cook.
How about that?
Yeah.
Should make you feel great.
By the way, it makes me feel terrific.
My first set of pots and pans, Rachel Ray.
Yeah,
right. At a school,
you had Rachel Ray pots and pans.
I had Rachel Ray pots and pans with orange handles. I really did. Rachel, this is,
I'm really proud of our products, but the thing that makes me happiest about them is that they do a lot of good in the world. You know, and these kids, they're all so special. Nobody loses in today's show. One kid will win $25,000, but every child will get $5,000 towards their culinary education, and it's just an exciting.
It's an exciting time.
And these kids are so cool, and they're so excited to learn how to cook and how to bake, Rachel. And probably they thought they'd never get an opportunity to do so.
And it's very empowering. And each one of them used food, as I said, in a very different way. One young lady was born with an autoimmune disorder, and she's allergic to just about everything. And instead of being bummed out about that and kids picking on her because she can't eat anything, she overcame all that and makes beautiful food. She makes cake with cauliflower frosting. I mean, she's just amazing.
Wait. Is that edible?
It's delicious. It's edible? And gorgeous. These kids are really... Top chefs.
Sounds like it.
No pun intended, but it's a wonderful day, and it's a really feel-good show. That's what I love about our show. It's wonderful to have on a movie star, a famous politician or athlete or something, but what I love about our television show is that I think it has its own personality because viewers see themselves.
But Oprah always had that vibe, but I was told you were that person before you had any money or any fame, that you were the pay-it-forward person. Is that true? Is that fair?
I mean, that's the way my family raised us. My mother's one of 10 children. My grandfather was my babysitter when I was little, so I guess I have the sensibilities of a 70-something old Sicilian man.
Well, you look great. Let me tell you something. A little old man, you look great.
I'm a little old man.
By the way, I want to mention before we run out of time that you're doing something pretty cool on Monday with the Lost Boys, which is a cool organization from here.
This Levante is...
Yeah, it's Levante Stewart.
He is one of the most special human beings.
He's amazing.
He proves that any one person, you know, we fight about these programs waiting for the city or the state or the federal government to make significant change. Every person has the ability to do that. And this man has three children of his own,
yep,
and started a program for kids to improve their physical capabilities and their mental capabilities. It's a little baseball program is how this thing started.
Mm-hmm.
It takes boys and girls, but they can't play baseball unless they bring their grades up. And they have all these social and interactive activities for these kids. Anybody can do this. Anybody can go out and change the kids in their neighborhood.
But not everybody does, and Levante did.
He's amazing. We have a very big surprise for him on Monday.
It's exciting. That's on Monday's show.
Yeah. Rachel, Rachel, how can kids get involved who are either watching you right now or listening? How do they take advantage of these programs?
Well, you know, you can go to our just our website, our show website, and we try and do initiatives like this all the time, but we also deal with programs all over the country.
Yeah, you got links to everything from the show on the website.
Yeah.
All right, so these Rachel Ray bags we're giving away, why are they so special?
Well, all of my bags, my next-door neighbor, she lives on the fourth floor, we started designing food transport bags because we're always transporting food.
Sure.
In the city, you have to walk everywhere and do all of your errands and carry everything home, and you don't want things to melt or not be good when you get there. And in the country, we have to drive very far just to get to a market.
Sure.
So, and our power goes out all the time. I've used my bags to save my whole freezer. So
yeah, it's amazing because they're thermal, right?
There's a bunch of different systems, but all of our thermal bags are completely waterproof, so you can use them as coolers in the summer. One time I was so embarrassed, I went to pick up groceries on my way home, and I didn't have one of my bags with me. I always have one folded up. This one day, I didn't. I left it at the office for whatever reason. The woman in front of me is shopping with my bags. She turned around and growled and scowled at me and said, "Where's yours?" I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah, so now you have three on you at all times.
Loser, yeah. So now I definitely never leave home without them. It's more important than an American Express card.
I understand that. Let's give some away until we run out here at 312-981-7200 and tell you if you don't watch Rachel Ray, your day's not going to be quite as much fun as it would be otherwise.
That's, fill my heart and spoil me.
So that's very nice. Nice to talk to you. You're always welcome here.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
See you, Rachel. You
that's Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray's show again with Levante is Monday, but the cooking award situation, that's today. You know, watch the show. Back with Bill and Wendy next. Bill and Wendy are here. John, one more plug for the show in March.
Yes, at the Rouse Center.
Yes.
Yes. March 24th, Saturday night. And that's going to be a lot of fun.
Stand-up comedy, me and Mike Toomey.
Yep. And you can go to the box office, call the box office at 815-356-9212 or go to rousecenter.org. 8 o'clock show, March 24th, Saturday.
What are you guys doing today?
Today really is Ed Farmer. I know we said that yesterday. We didn't get to all the stuff we haven't gotten to. We're going to break down the Grammy Awards. Christmas gift ideas, last minute Christmas gift ideas.
Golden Globes.
What happened to Ed yesterday? Wasn't Farmer on yesterday?
No, President Trump was speaking.
Yeah, you don't want to miss a word of that.
No. And I'm in love with John Song. I'm in love with John on songs.
Right?
Yeah, you are so
it's
good.
Really, really good. Yeah, it's really good. By the way, you didn't hear this, John, but Megan Picerno, the delightful tiny person who was in here.
Yeah, she was phenomenal.
From Love Never Dies, the Andrew Lloyd Webber song. She loved your song.
She did.
She'd like you to understudy her. Now, she's 5'2 and adorable.
Yeah, we're about
so
the
you're
same
about 6'3, so that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, we're close.
Petite, yeah.
Is Broadway next for you?
And
John?
We had the same dress.
Is Broadway next for you?
Is that next?
Yes. Yeah. Are you just going to be another one of the Steve Cochran Show cast that ends up in Broadway?
Pretty much.
Right. You know. I mean the street Broadway. I don't mean in New York. I just mean the one north of here.
Just north.
Much better chance.
It was Belmont first.
Right.
See you tomorrow.